Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Thank you for joining us. This is Sharon Hoskins, and today
Janie Ratzliff and I are continuing the topic of encourage without wounding.
Now, I see a lot of wounded people having a hard time reconciling the way God tells us to think, to be healed, and to move forward and have a spiritual recovery, physical recovery, emotional recovery. He has given us His mind on what He wants us to know here for daily living. We have to rest on what He says when He says, "My ways are not your ways," and we're getting you trained to come to those higher ways.
Today, we are in episode 2 of Encourage Without Wounding. But today, we're going to focus on the wounded.
That's probably all of us at one point in time. We all have our stories.
Every one of us can be included in the wounded. So one of the things that I learned from being wounded is that wounded people are in the hospital. And when we're in the hospital, I don't like being in the hospital. I've been in the hospital a few times. Have you, Janie?
I sure have. Almost died one night, so I'm very familiar with hospitals.
They're not very fun, are they?
No, but they are preserving. Mm-hmm. And I think using a hospital setting for the wounded is a great analogy. And we do need to let people know that we're not just talking about going to the hospital mm-hmm. physically, that this has the analogy of how we deal with the whole person when the whole person is helpless, hopeless, and doesn't know how they got there and don't know how long they're going to be there and what the results will be if they stay.
Right. So being in a hospital is a place where we go to get better. We have a doctor, we have some nurses, we have some people who come in and take our blood and mess with us all night long and won't leave us alone and let us rest, we think. But hospitals have a purpose for helping us to get better. And so one of the things that we want to look at today is when we're wounded, we are in a hospital, whether we are there physically or not. Emotionally, we're in a hospital.
And I think you could say there, if I'm hearing you correctly, Sharon, that we're in a place of need.
Yes.
We don't go to the hospital just to buy some pretty flowers.
Right.
Or to eat the cafeteria food.
Right.
We are there because there is a need.
And when we're in a hospital, an emotional hospital, there's not the freedoms that you have at home. Just like a physical hospital, you don't have the freedoms that you have at home. And while you're there, you need to follow the doctor's orders. And with following those doctor's orders, you get out of the hospital a lot quicker. And so in looking at God as our doctor, following the doctor's orders would be scriptural. And so we need to find what scripture says about getting better once we have been wounded.
That's good. And we have to come to the state that we're willing to listen. When you mentioned this analogy, and I thought it was a really good one about being in the hospital, mm-hmm. I took my weary-worn brain and thought, okay, let me remember the last time I was there. And it was on an emergency basis. But, you know, the first thing was we had to see that I had a need. And a lot of people go into the hospital and it's almost like a state of withdrawal. They're in a private room. They're there because they are sick. Many times no visitors allowed. And so they're in a state of withdrawal. And don't you find that wounded people have a tendency to withdraw, mm-hmm. suffer in silence because they don't know what medicines, they don't know what methodology,
right.
they don't know what the diagnosis is of why they got to where they are. And so they're perplexed and overwhelmed.
Exactly.
And so most of the time, if you're perplexed and overwhelmed, you're living then in fear, anxiety, depression, things that actually are going to make your condition worse. So one of the things, and I hope this lesson will be just really practical. I hope it's just applied theology that we'll give some scriptural basis to. But we need to see, even when we are at the lowest of the low, our need for others. Now, it may not be the visitors that are going to come bring you those beautiful mm-hmm. carnations or roses, but what about the doctors and the nurses and the technician mm-hmm. and the anesthesiologist? They are there to save our lives, but many times we don't want to turn to them mm-hmm. for their methodology, or mm-hmm. we have had a bad experience with another doctor or another hospital, and so we our trust level is gone. Mm-hmm. Our focus is blurred, and that's kind of how we are spiritually.
Right.
If somebody has greatly wounded us, and let me bring up something here, Sharon. If we've had a really abusive lifestyle for whatever reason, mm-hmm. whether it was childhood, marriage, circumstances, boss, anything, we can truly have been a victim. We need to let these people come and minister to us, and we need to be willing to be dependent on them. So when we talk about healing the wounded, and we're using a hospital setting, we have usually arrived in that hospital with kind of an independent spirit and mm-hmm. done something that has resulted in our being there in the first place, bad lifestyle, bad eating habits, or whatever. So learning then to become again willing to trust, because most of the time, don't you agree that the trust has been destroyed in someone who is a highly, you know, wounded individual?
Absolutely. And many times when we're wounded by other Christians, it causes us to mistrust God. Because Christians are the ones that we look to many times, especially in infancy, to see God.
Yes.
And so when Christians wound other Christians, whether they're babies or older believers, then the trust level ranges in that, because we see God in other believers. That's how we associate Christ in you, Christ in me. So we associate Christ with who we see in each other. And so if you wound me, then I have to ask God, why did she wound me? Was that you wounding me through her? We ask those questions.
And that's true. And I think 1 John is a good book to go in and read when it talks about us loving each other. Mm-hmm. And that's how we show others that Christ is real and that his love is real. I do want to bring out that sometimes our wounds are because of our flesh. And I know a lot of people don't understand the word flesh, so I'm just going to put a simple definition on it, that it is our attitudes, actions, deeds, words, lifestyle, and habits before we knew Christ. And once we accept him, he frees us from those things, but it may take us a lifetime to accept the freedom yeah. that he has given us. So we really see two types of wounded people in a hospital setting.
Absolutely.
Those that have been in a car wreck, so to speak, mm-hmm. and then those that have responded because of their flesh. And we have to realize that that's how we all started out. And it's only by the power of Jesus Christ can we move past our flesh. So sometimes our wounds are almost self-inflicted.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Right.
And then other times, they have really been because of an abuse. And we can't always pick who we want to help us.
Yeah.
I listened to a news broadcast last night where someone was shot, and he would have died except a stranger came out of nowhere and saved his life. And as this person was at the hospital last night, this person said, I would have been dead except a stranger passed by and saved my life. And so many times we do have to learn to trust someone that we really don't know, but we have to trust the Lord that he's bringing them to us.
So really, as we've talked, and I've heard you say that really our wounds vary from different aspects, either our response or a car crash, so to speak, meaning that, you know, it came out of nowhere,
yes, yes.
traumatic injury. And then our healing process varies. So medicine is what we need. Whether we've been wounded, a self-inflicting wound, or a wound that has come from a car crash, what we need is medicine. And many times we refuse medicine. I hate taking medicine. Oh. I absolutely hate to take medicine. I'll be sick for 3 days. And my husband will say, did you take anything for it? Oh, what do I take? I hate taking medicine. But what we do is we refuse medicine, but we walk around. This is terrible because, you know, I'm one that will refuse that medicine, be sick for 3 days whining about it. And my husband's going, did you take some medicine? But what we do is we walk around with these wounds and we show everybody, see my wound, see how badly I'm cut. See, look how bad it hurts. And guess who did it? Mm. And we want to tell who gave us those wounds. We complain about these wounds. That just reminded me of, I'm sitting there complaining, oh, Terry, I hurt so bad. I feel so sick. Would you take anything for it? And that's what we don't want to do. We want to share that we're sick. We want to tell everybody our wounds, and we want to express how bad they hurt. But we don't want to take any medicine for it. We share who it is that's hurt us. So we want to warn people, you know, of this person because look what they did to me. And we don't want to take any medicine. So then our wounds are exposed to infection and disease.
Yes.
And then pretty soon it reaches places that of bitterness and anger and disgust, and walls are built, and we have spoken horribly about somebody, and so that brings guilt. We start feeling guilty about what we've said and things that we have done personally. So we add to that wound, and that wound becomes infected and diseased.
Well, and the scripture tells us that bitterness defiles not only the person who has it, but many are defiled by being in the presence. The Bible also tells us that don't associate with an angry man lest you learn his ways and become like him. Mm-hmm. So there are certain types of medicines that we might want to avoid. They're not really good for us. But the key thing that I heard you say is for most people that are showing their scars and passing on the giver of the scars are not taking the medicine that the Lord gave us first and foremost, and that's his love.
Right.
He says love covers a multitude of wounds. Okay, or sins.
Sins, yes.
All right. And then he warns us on the medicine that we should take. And I'm drawn to Psalms 107, I think it's 19 and 20, where it says that the people cried out. I'm paraphrasing now. The people cried out in desperation, and the Lord sent his word and healed them. And I have really appropriated that verse in the last couple of years, looking at it from the idea that you stay in the Word and you read and it shows you what to do. But Sharon, there is a true healing in the, I'm not a doctor, I don't know whether to say the DNA or whether to say in the chemical constituents in the body, but there is a healing that we can look at. If you don't want to take some of your drugs that give you stomach upset, and people need to take that more literally. I love the verse in 3 John 1, where John starts out, and the first word he says is beloved. Now, if we understand what beloved means from the natural mother language, it means I love you so much, I cannot live without you. And that is one of the healing of the wounds when we see one another and they look at us, they hear our words, and they hear that beloved. And then the rest of that verse is, I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health as your soul prospers. Now, we know that the soul is the mind, will, and the emotions. So right there, we've got a great encouraging tool that if we are seeking some physical health, that we need to recognize our soul health really comes first as the mind. Yes. Yes, in true repentance, in confession, in forgiveness, and then...
Oh, you touched a key right there, forgiveness.
I'll give you back the mic in a minute. Okay. it's not instantaneous, is it, Sharon?
Mm-mm.
We just can't go to the hospital and get a fix. The Bible says, grow in grace and knowledge in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a process, and that's sometimes hard for the wounded, brokenhearted person to accept when they don't know how they're going to make it another day, mm-hmm. and they're looking for something to fix them. Right. And there is a fix, but the process is part of the fix.
Yeah.
And the solution.
Yeah, it's not an instantaneous,
no.
as we're become used to in this culture that we
yes.
live in today, the technology and the abilities that we have to instantaneously get answers and instantaneously get food and instantaneously receive whatever it is that we're needing. And so our process of God's plan is not instantaneous. There are things that we have to go through. And, you know, there's been times in my life that I have asked God, why did I have to go through that? Why did I have to endure that?
Did he always give you an answer?
He never gave me an answer, ever. But I will say that after, I'm going to go back to my forgiveness. After April of last year, when Bruce and Tony Hebel came and talked about forgiveness, the forgivingforward.com, forgivingforward.com. Their protocols of forgiveness changed my life. And that is my medicine. I take that medicine daily. It's mm-hmm. not something I
yes.
wait to take when I'm wounded. I take that medicine daily. I choose to pre-forgive. I forgive before anything happens. I know that if something happens today, I'm already going to choose to forgive.
And now, Sharon, let me interrupt and say, and now why are you always going to be willing to give up front? I mean, there could be some pretty tough things done against you. So where is your thinking and your strength coming from that you're willing to forgive anybody no matter what before you even know? What's your answer there?
Oh, my goodness. Well, my answer is twofold.
Okay.
First of all, I know from experience what it's like to live in unforgiveness. Second of all, the medicine's here. And even if something detrimental happens, something that is very difficult to forgive, I know that God will be there to help me each day with that forgiveness.
And going right along with that, I find that in the afflictions, turmoils, and I'm going to have to throw in a word with my life, rebellion, that I can forgive, as you said, going forward, because, Sharon, I can stack up everything that's ever been done wrong to me if I wanted to keep a few notebooks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I could open up another notebook and put in everything that I have done against a holy God.
And not just God, but other people.
And other people.
And I think that's what we forget. When we've been wounded, we forget that we have wounded others.
Others, yes. And do you think we should just maybe have in our purse a sample of a steak that was driven through the Lord Jesus's wrist?
Oh, my goodness.
I found one the other day at a Christian bookstore, and I nearly bought it, and I wanted to have a stake that I could drive something into to help an individual accept Christ and drive a stake to say, on this day, mm-hmm. I chose. I couldn't find the thing to drive the stake in, so I didn't get the stake. But sometimes I think the shock value might be good if we would just say, I can forgive, and pull it out and say, because of this.
Mm-hmm.
These stakes were driven into the Master's hands, and it doesn't matter who's wounded me or who I have wounded. The way I have wounded him supersedes anything, and
right.
so then it's easy to go ahead and forgive. Sharon, there was something the Lord showed me this week, and I've known it, and yet it was made anew, and this may help in what we're talking about. When our people are wounded, and they look in the Scriptures, they say, okay, I'll go read the Scriptures. And they go and they read 1 Corinthians 2, where it says, do we have the mind of God? But we have the mind of Christ. And a lot of wounded people say, I don't know how to have the mind of Christ. And besides, it doesn't make sense what he has allowed in my life. And then they compare that with Isaiah 55, where he says, in fact, let me just read this to you, because okay. if I've got it here. Isaiah 55, 6 through 8, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let me return to the Lord. Now, these are all things that the wounded person can apply personally,
okay
actively. Mm-hmm. They can seek the Lord. They can return, and he will have mercy. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon. Then he says, the twister, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, Sharon, nor are your ways my ways. For as heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than yours. Now, I see a lot of wounded people having a hard time reconciling the way God tells us to think to be healed and to move forward and have a spiritual recovery, physical recovery, emotional recovery. And then we see the circumstances that could continue to happen. And then we say, his ways are not our ways. Well, the way I've been able to reconcile that is, he has given us his mind on what he wants us to know here for daily living. But when things perplexing that we cannot explain, we have to rest on what he says. When he says, my ways are not your ways, my ways are from heaven with eternal purposes, and we're getting you trained to come to those higher ways. But it gave me some comfort, and I hope it would give others encouragement to recognize that he's told us how to allow him to recover us, but we're not going to understand his ways in all of our ways.
Right. And it's not about necessarily understanding everything that we're asked to do in Scripture, because many times when God gives us medicine from the Word of God, just as, you know, medicine can sit on the night table or in the medicine cabinet, you have medicine in the house or you have medicine in your hospital room, but if you don't apply that medicine or take that medicine, you have to take it in. You have to apply the salve. You have to take that pill. You have to do those things to get better. And so even though applying that medicine or taking that medicine is not easy, it is necessary to be better. Because honestly, the person who gave you those wounds are not in the bondage that you're in the hospital room. Honestly, you are the one that's captive to the bed, that's captive to the hospital room. You are captive by those wounds. And so when you take the medicine that God gives, forgiveness being one of them, you know, forgiving that person is not setting them free. It's setting you free.
Yes. And we know, we might mention, we've focused on the hospital scenario today, but some people may be in a prison and they're not going to get out for a while. They can still start to heal. Mm-hmm. They can start to renew. And indifference to taking your medicine that the Lord has provided, and he'll provide it, whether it's a hospital room, a prison room, or any place else. Indifference may not be illegal, but Sharon, it is immoral. It is immoral not to take the resources that God has provided in his word.
Right.
But we have to learn to trust in God sometimes again. And that's where the encourager needs to have their heart on the altar so that when that wounded person comes into contact, they are edified.
Well, Janie, that's all the time we have for today.
Okay.
And it seems to go by so fast. But next week, we will be back with encouraging others without wounding them. And so we're going to really focus on the encourager next week and find ways that we can learn to encourage others in biblical terms. So thank you for joining us today.
This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.